Item number one, we'll do a call to order. Would you do a roll call, Amelia, please?
President Mabee?
Yes.
Director Duca, oh, will you call the meeting to order for us, though? Tim, and say the date and the time?
He did.
He did?
I think.
I'll say it for the record. This is the November 18th, 2020 regular board meeting, Rancho Murrieta Community Services District. Director Jenkins?
Here.
Good afternoon. Director Butler?
Here.
Director Merchant?
Here.
Director Pohl?
Here.
Welcome to the meeting.
Thanks.
Thank you, Amelia. Item number two, consider adoption of the agenda. I'd like to make a motion. We adopt the agenda. Do I have a second?
Second.
That was Randy?
Yes.
Roll call to Director Mabee.
Can I chime in real quick, please?
Yes.
We're going to pull the camera item. Do we pull that before you adopt the agenda, or do we pull it once we start the regular meeting?
I thought we had to adopt what the original agenda posted was. And then in my notes, Tom, I have when we get to number 10, that I'm going to pull it. Okay. But if Mr. Shanahan doesn't have any objection either way.
No objection to what you propose.
Go ahead, Amelia.
President Mabee?
Aye.
Director Jacob?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Yes.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Director Pohl?
Yes.
Thank you.
Item number three is closed session. It'll be with the district manager, legal counsel. It's a update on labor negotiations with Local 3. Amelia, would you move us over to closed session, please?
Yes, I will stop the recording now, and then I will make Tom the host.
Perfect.
Come into my office and tell me how to make it work.
So everyone just stand by for a minute or so while we go through this process. Thank you.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
It looks like I'm the host. What do I do? Do I kill your reception?
You click on me on the little three dots and put me in the waiting room.
Oh, but okay.
Yep. And then click on.
I'm the host.
Recording. See, recording says a little pause, so uh-huh. You can pause recording.
Welcome. You've joined the Rancho Murrieta Community Services District board meeting. And our directors are just getting out of closed session. So they will be with us shortly and begin the meeting.
Amelia, if you would start the recording, please.
I have restarted the recording. Thank you. Can you see my screen?
Yes, I can.
Wonderful. Whenever you're
ready, sir. All right. If you go to item number four, we're coming out of closed session. So out of closed session, we have nothing to report and no action was taken on that. So we're moving to item number five, which is the consent calendar. This is a roll call vote. I make a motion that the board adopt a consent calendar as written. Do I have a second?
Second.
Amelia, would you do roll call?
President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler. Director Butler, can you hear us? Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
Yes.
Director Butler, are you with us? Can you hear us? Okay. She's not responding.
Okay, then I think it passes with the four votes.
Yeah.
If I'm not. Okay.
I'll just mark her down as absent.
Perfect. Moving
I
on.
Tim, this is Linda.
Yes,
I just
ahead.
Got volume. I just got volume. I'm not sure what I missed.
We are at a roll call vote for item number five, which is the consent calendar. So we need your vote on the consent calendar for approval. We've had a second.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number six, which is staff reports. The first one I have is general manager's report. Tom.
Thank you, Director Mabee. This is Tom Hennig, the general manager, and I'm going to go through my general manager report. And as usual, if I hit somewhere there needs to be discussion, we can stop and take a look at things. Again, we all know that California is almost all purple. So it's not looking like we're going to be back with open doors for board meetings anytime soon. We're happy to say we've had no more COVID cases. We all have friends and family that are starting to become more and more involved in knowing people who have COVID or testing back for it today. I'm very happy to say we received two legitimate proposals for the Laguna Joaquin RFP. We're going to review these proposals over the next week or two with members of the RMA, possibly the Murrieta Townhomes Incorporated, and any other participants as determined by the participants, you know, anybody else wants to get involved. And we don't need to really talk about this now because there's a lengthy item, agenda item later in the meeting tonight, so we can discuss the Laguna Joaquin issue. I've had some outreach. I've discussed with the village the installation of the cameras that we'd like to put in there, and that's kind of on hold pending some other unrelated items. We met with the general manager at the RMA. We're very communicative between us, and we're working very well together on meeting some of the mutual goals between our two agencies and trying to push forward some agenda items that we think are going to be helpful for everyone here. Paul's meeting with is attending the meetings with the water agencies. Every now and then I'll pay attention to their discussions. I participated in the first two of a 3.5-hour regional water authority board meeting. Those things can last quite a while. Other district business, the polling place. Yes, go ahead.
It's Linda. I just had a quick question about the Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority. How are they doing? Do they have, from my understanding, they were a little behind in terms of the groundwater plans that they're supposed to be working on. Do you know how that's coming?
To me, when I've listened to their meetings recently, and Paul, you're more than welcome to chime in if you want. They seem to be on a pretty good clip. Their ducks seem to be lining up. Their timelines are aggressive. Some of these agencies came to the game a little late, but they seem to be doing fine to me. Same with SLU House.
Okay.
Paul?
Yeah, they like Tom said, they seem to be on track. This is Paul Stevenson. They're on track. They were just deciding some costs for consultants for further work that they're doing in relation to that. But I think they were just maybe like a month behind where they anticipated being, but generally on track.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't know who's making all. Amelia, can you mute everybody and then unmute me, please? Okay, thank you, Amelia. Oftentimes we get all that side noise. We had an election box outside the door here. I guess we were one of 83 polling places in Sac County. They were extremely appreciative that we held it. We opened up our doors. And then we had 4 days worth of polling here in the boardroom. Everything went very well. And I mentioned later in the meeting, we got a nice letter from one of the, from the guy who's in charge of the polling place. So once again, staff here did a great job. He called out Mamie's work as she kind of coordinates all this stuff. And it was just worked out really well. The parking lot was very busy on Tuesday. The question of becoming a next door government agency always comes up. They finally got back to me and to tell me that if we want to be a next door agency as a governmental agency, it's $10,000 a year. It's a pretty slick system. I mean, we send them map files that say we want to break up the South from the North, or we want to break up the North into the 6 different units, and we could do that, and we could break up the South into 3 units. And if we had a service alert for doing road work, we could just tell those neighbors. I don't know if it's worth $10,000, so we're going to do some more investigation on this and bring it to the communications meeting for formal discussions. I just wanted to give an update on that. The next item is, over the past since I've been here, I've been watching our checking account balance grow and grow and grow to the point where it was over $3 million in cash, which is more money than we need to have locally at our bank readily available. The district has had a relationship with the California Local Agency Investment Fund for many years. And I believe we have about $6 million in that fund right now. And it earns interest at a lot better pace than our checking account. So as the district treasurer, I elected to move $2 million from El Dorado Savings into the LAIF accounts last week. And that money can go in as easy as it can come out. And it's a very, very formal process. And it's amazing how having a local bank really makes things very clean, and you can't make mistakes. Amy at the bank will not let us do anything out of sequence. So part of it's very manual, but it's kind of refreshing to see how you can do things a little bit old fashioned when you're dealing with this kind of money. So we're gonna look at the district banking policy and a little bit ahead of time or in the near future to talk about how much money we want to have on hand and make sure our investment policies are going correct so we can take full advantage of the funds that we have and protect the district's money assets. And then the Mello-Ruse bond, the CFD 2014-1, one of the most complicated processes I've ever seen. And I had promised to come back to the board in November with resolution on exactly where the money came from, where the money went, and specifically related to the check we received from the developer to do a catch up on the late payments of the 2018-19 and 2019-20 special tax payments or special assessment for the Mello-Ruse bond. And we want to make sure that of that $851,000 check, we send the right amount to the bond trustee, Wilmington Trust, but also that we identify exactly how much money of district, how much district funds were loaned to this organization in the early days of the bond payments, and make sure that the district has paid back the money that we spent with interest. It is not ready yet. It is almost ready. Michelle has put together a very clean spreadsheet that goes through the whole listing of the funds and dollars of where they went. And I'm trying to put together trying to simplify the discussion for the finance committee in December. And I'm very confident we can meet that goal. So I'm a month late with this explanation, but it's critical that we put the money where it belongs and that we don't find ourselves utilizing district money to support the Mello-Ruse bond in the future. So we're setting that up to do it right. And so that'll work out well. Any questions?
I don't have any chats. Would you like me to unmute everyone?
No, that's fine, Tom. And again, the board's aware of how difficult of a task this is. So there isn't an immediate deadline. I think if you get it to the Finance Committee, use small words for those committee members, and December's fine.
Okay, thank you. And then moving down to PARS, which is our pension obligations, our unfunded and our future pension obligations, and this IRS Section 115 trust is kind of a new animal out there to help districts and agencies better manage their monies for their future obligations. And we sat through a webinar, and it's probably something we're going to take a harder look at during 2021. You're able to pay your pension obligation at the beginning of the year, and you receive a 7% discount on your total amount due. And so this year we paid our entire 2021 pension obligation in July, and we realized that 7% discount. So in going forward, there'll be more we can talk about on this. The joint security meeting, we continue, and I don't know why this meeting is so hard to schedule, but once I figure it out, we'll have more regular meetings. The security request for quotes is on the street. The responses are due back November 25th, I believe. Amelia's already received a couple questions on it, but I trust that we're on schedule to bring this to the Finance Committee on December 2nd, and then have something available December 16th to take to the board for approval. And then begins the stakeholder meetings in January. The question that people have been asking me all the time is, are people going to be able to be involved? Can everybody be involved in basically what it is we want to ask and how we're going to ask the questions? And the answer is, well, we can't have all 5,000 people involved, but there's going to be stakeholder meetings with probably the North, the South, the commercial interests, the village, the gardens interests. And out of that comes, this is what security, if you want security to look like this, or what are you willing to pay this much? And then that generates questions that the pollsters will then come back in February and make their phone calls. And they're very sure that if they can get 400 demographically strategic responses, that they can give us a really solid answer as to what the likelihood of, if security were to look like this, how much are you willing to pay? And then how many people would vote positively or negatively for that? As I've said, if we're not above 67%, it's not wise to go forward with a referendum at the expense that it would take to run that. So that is on the loose, and it should be, we should be having a better discussion about this in December. We're planning to bring a reserve study RFP to the Finance Committee in December, and hopefully we can bring a contract to the board for that work in January. We're also working with Paul to create an engineering service RFP so we can replace, so we can have a new contract after Coastland's contract expires in April. And we have split that RFP into civil engineering services and inspection services. So a company can bid on inspections or civil engineering, or they can bid on both. And I think that's gonna make this process a lot more palatable for development within the district. I think the agreement with Coastland was short-sighted from the standpoint of what it really is, the burden is gonna be for development to have to pay so much money for inspections. And then we go to conferences and education. It looks like people think they're gonna be holding conferences in Sacramento in March and San Diego in April. And I guess that's Squaw Valley in June. I highly doubt that they're gonna be holding conferences that soon, maybe the June one. And then there's a conference in 2021 in Monterey for water issues. And then I wanna tell some kudos announcements, promotions, so on and so forth. I gotta tell you, the security staff are working their tails off. We are down 2.5 patrol officers, 2 full-time and 1 part-time patrol officer. We are down a gate officer and a half, and these guys are working 12-hour shifts. They're working their tails off, and it shows. They're looking They're looking tired. We're working with PDF to fix some of that, but I really want to acknowledge the security staff. So as you're going through the gates or as you see them, tell them thank you, because they really are kicking butt. Gabriel DeVault, we had a problem in the men's room here at district offices, and we got a quote from a plumber
to repair it.
We all kind of gasped, and then Gabriel says, oh, I can fix that. And so over a period of a few days, he probably saved the district about $1,500. Cindy Chow and Michelle have been working very diligently on the CFD 2114 bond, and it's not simple. And I just want to commend them for their diligence to this effort. And I always got to thank Amelia, because she's the one who has my back with getting all this work done. The district offices are closing early November 25th and December 24th. We're gonna close the doors at 2 o'clock both those days, and we'll post that on our webpage and we'll post it on the door. You may find me leaving the office at 2 because everybody else worked on getting out sooner, but that's what our plan is. So that's just letting everybody know. And that's the end of the general manager's report. If there's any questions, I'm open to taking them now.
Very good, Tom. Thank you.
I have a chat.
Yes, go ahead, Amelia, please.
It is from Crystal Matter. Respectfully, that does not answer the question. Who in the public will be able to participate in the stakeholders meeting? And then she has another question. What is CSD doing to actively recruit additional gate officers and patrol officers outside from merely posting any openings on the website?
Okay, I'll answer both of those questions. Thank you for those questions, Crystal. For the first one, I'm not really sure how you do it. I mean, do you say there's 20 slots available for a workshop from residents of the North and 20 from the South, and the first 20 who sign up? I'm not sure. And Crystal, if you don't mind, I'll call you and we can talk about what's a good way to do that. I'm open to suggestion, other than if we post a roster on our webpage and the first 20 people who sign up, then that's it. I don't know. We don't have unlimited space, and you can't run a meeting like a workshop like that with 50 people in the room. You'll never get anywhere. So I'm going to take it from the people who are submitting the RFPs and go based on their information or their suggestion, go from there. What is CSD doing actively to recruit patrol officers and gate officers? If you drive by the Bel Air today, you see that we have a ad for the district hiring patrol and gate officers flashing up through their, it flashes up about every 2 or 3 minutes. And I appreciate the folks at the Bel Air and the people involved in there for allowing us to post that that ad at no cost to the district as a community service. We are also posting a similar ad in the River Valley Times. Hopefully that'll be up next Wednesday. I got to talk to Gail about some leverage there. And then there's an Amador paper that we've added to our list. We posted again in the Sacramento Bee. And there is, what's the other paper, Amelia?
I want to say the Amador Democrat and the River Valley Times. And then through that posting in the Bee, it goes on to Indeed and one website that's specifically for patrol, for security personnel, and
so basically, we are taking steps proactively and obviously reactively, because we haven't been able to fill them. So we are taking steps to move forward, not just not doing anything about it.
That is correct. We are aggressively recruiting. And it's my understanding that the gate officers have been handing out applications to people if they've been coming through, and they've been receiving them back. Staff here have been talking amongst their friends. Maybe it's just under this COVID situation, people just don't think they can go apply for jobs. So, and then is there one more? Great, please. Okay, have you considered reaching out to SAC Sheriff regarding retired annuitants? Very little readership for Sacramento Bee. I'm trying to figure out if there's a best way to start recruiting for retired annuitants, and I just haven't had the time to figure out if there's a site that retired annuitants go to look for jobs. So, and
can I add one more thing with the Sacramento Bee? We're not posting it in their printed ad. They're like a repository for a bunch of different sites. Max Recruiter, which is ZipRecruiter, Indeed, Glassdoor, Next, Jobs to Careers, over 100 aggregate sites were being posted on. Jobs Network Board, Niche Job Board Distribution, which is a law enforcement one, and it's sponsored Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. So the Bee, it's not in the newspaper. It's on their website at sacramentobee.com. And then from there, that's a platform that they put it on all these other recruiting websites, job boards.
Perfect, thank you. Okay. I kind of dipped into the security report a little bit, but that's fine. Let's go to item B, which is administration financial report, please.
Before I do that, does anybody have any questions regarding the bills paid listing and the bills paid memo?
I don't, so.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, so I'm gonna move on to the finance report. So here's the district plan starting with the next board meeting, and I plan to work with Paul. So finance will stop presenting the water usage data because it's redundant from Paul is going to present. So I'm going to take this part off my report. I'm just going to report financial data instead of water consumption data. And so by this month in October, for residential water usage in October 2020, was 3% lower than September 2000, then I think there's a typo, and it's supposed to be lower than October 2019 and September, and slightly higher than September 2020. So I'm still working with Ablesoft to get a correct report to show the water meter, because Marietta Gardens 2 residents have 2 meters. One is for potable water, one is for recycled water. But there's for the recycled meters, there's the potable water going through the recycled meters. So I'm still working on that report. And for commercial water consumption, usage was 26% down over September 2020. And year to date commercial water usage was a little bit higher than projection, 2%. October 2020, there was zero lock off. And we still only have one pay agreement set up. Elizabeth is still calling people and try to have them set up the pay agreements. We don't have any connection fees paid in October 2020. For past due amount, so amount past due more than 60 days totaled as of October 31st at $42,372, and 15,000 of that actually owed before November 2019 by 6 properties. And finance staff, we every month we presented this list and telling the board and how many properties still owe and how much they still owe. And although people still owe, but they do make payments. So if they can't make the full payment, they will make partial payments, which is good. So for the reserve balance as of October 31st, So the reserve balance as of October 31st was $6,583,185, which is a decrease of $7,551 compared with last month, which is we received the LAIF interest in October, and plus the reserve money we collected every month and offset by reserve spending in October. So that is a net of a decrease of $7,551. Moving on to the budget to actual comparison detail. So for revenue part, it's very comparable with last month. Water charge and solid waste charges revenues are above budget, but sewer, drainage, and security are a little bit lower than we budgeted. Expenses. So overall expenditures for October 2020 are $476,134 below budget. This is primarily due to the vacancy savings in salary. So in October 2020, we have three reserve purchases authorized by general manager. There is a tractor. This costs us $72,000, and we also spend $20,000 on the lift station upgrade, which is coming out of the sewer replacement reserve. We also spend $11,626 for the wastewater treatment plant. That money is coming from the water replacement reserve. Moving on to that detailed budget to actual report. This is the report I reported at the committee meeting. This is the new format. So this page we're looking at is the summary page. Then it's broken down by different funds. If you scroll down, it's water, sewer, drainage, solid waste, and security. And in each fund, we also then further broken down to, it's moving on to water, sources, supply, different departments in different funds. And my plan, what I want to try to present to the board at next board meeting is within each department, I want to further break it down to different sessions, make it look like if you scroll up to the summary page, and I want to look like in each department, I want to have different sections just look like the summary report by employee services, admin services, operational cost, and other expenses. That's what I'm working on. So that's my report. Anybody have questions, please? I'm here to answer.
Yes, thank you, Cindy. Very good. I think it's appropriate that we move some of the report over to Paul's area with the water and those type things. And I have a question to ask you, yes, Cindy, because it came up in the reserve funding, but I think Paul has the answer. Specifically, mm-hmm, is which lift station are we looking at on the reserve?
That was a follow-up from the name of the South project that occurred a while back, and so I was reconciling some of those costs. Correct, Cindy?
Hold on a second, Paul. Amelia, would you translate for me?
I don't think that was Paul.
That was not Paul.
Oh. I don't know. Do we know what sewer line station it is?
I'm going to guess it was 6B, the one by the wooden bridge. Paul looks like he's ready to talk. Paul?
So it was Lane Lift South, if that was the one that we were speaking about today.
Paul, your speaker is, your microphone is really bad. Maybe change your location where you're talking to it from.
In the meantime, though, could you just type in to the chat so we can see it?
Yeah, that's fine. And we can move on. And so, Cindy, I agree with modifying the overall report for us. I like the format. So thank you for that. And then a question I have, because I'm on the finance committee, when we do our mid-year budget review, when would you feel comfortable with that? Say the February or March?
February is good. Did we, when did we do the mid-year budget review last year? I believe it was in February as well.
I thought it was, and you know, and again, we're light years ahead of where we were last year, and thank you for that. So if it's going to be, and Director Merchant, you can jump in, but as we do the mid-year review at the committee level, February's fine for us because that'll be able to get a good status of where we're at, where the projections are, and then we just start right into the budget cycle. So I'm fine with February, Director Merchant.
Yeah, no problem. I like the reformatting in general. The only comment I had in the switching over to Paul reporting on the residential and commercial water consumption, I do hope we're going to leave both of those charts in. It took us 25 years to get them the way we wanted them. And I'd like to continue with those.
Oh yeah, of course.
And then my only other question, Cynthia, is my lightning quick math on the money that's owed to us, the 42,000, we're really down to about 27,000 of that 42 from residents, if I understand correctly, because we have six properties that have, and it's been over a year plus, the 15,000 that's due. So really it's a smaller number that we're looking at than,
yes.
Truly it's 42,000, but from residents, it's around 27,000 or so.
Yes, from the residents, it's small, yes.
Okay. Perfect. Any other board members, questions, please?
No more questions, but Paul's back on the line, so maybe he can answer your previous question.
Yeah, Paul, the understanding was it was on the south and it was lift station 6B.
I believe it was main lift south lift station, and Cindy and I thought we had discussed it today, if that was the one we were discussing today, correct?
No, the one I asked you about today was for the 1920.
Okay.
This is a different.
So it could be 6B.
Perfect. Sorry, so here's what we'll do is I'll follow up offline with you, Paul. And just, I had a question asked of me. So, I'll just follow up with you tomorrow offline. So no worries, either way. Not hearing any other questions. Tom, it's going to be back to you for the security report, please.
Thank you very much. I want to begin with by saying I had meetings with the security staff Monday morning and today at 3. And honestly, according to staff, it's like the first time they've had regular staff meetings where the GM was present to talk with them in 6 to 8 years. So it was very refreshing, and it's very concerning that how hard we're working those folks. So hopefully this really intensive recruitment results in some new people to take some of the shifts and take the burden off our folks. Just a couple of big things. We're about halfway done repurposing the VIPS truck to be used for regular patrol. It's Ford Ranger again, it's 16 years old with 12,000 miles on it. So we want to take advantage of a district owned vehicle. The south entry gate has been broken for months. That's going to be installed, I think, within the next week or two. So that's the gate where if you go up and you talk to the south gate officer, they have to open it up for you. And then again, we're trying to utilize PDF to support security staff until the vacancies are filled. It takes a while to formally fill a vacancy, and PDF to be a little bit quicker to supporting us. We're training one right now to be a patrol officer. We're also going to train another one to be a patrol officer support later this week. Let me see what else is there. We're continuing, like I say, I want to figure out the retired annuitant process, and maybe I can interview somebody who wants to be our interim patrol chief. Jeff Werblum is currently out through, I believe, mid to late January. We've been doing some training. The Rancho Marietta Association activity, we've met with them numerous times. Kevin and I and Denise and Tim and Cheryl are very focused on golf carts for underage driving enforcement, stop sign enforcement, speed enforcement. And the RMA, as many people know, Kevin has put out some sort of a director and or general manager announcement that we're taking strides to increasing our enforcement capabilities as a means of trying to prevent anything bad, really bad, from happening. I met with the Marietta Village, talked about the camera solution and patrol activities. They're pretty happy. Working with the Commercial Owners Association to install in a couple cameras over there on Marietta Drive to take picture or videotape cars as they go to and from the airport past the hotel. And then we're talking to them about revamping the possibility for issuing citations on their behalf. Right here, if anybody has any questions, go down to the Marietta Association Violation Summary Report, Amelia. So this is in the packet. We have for years had a discrepancy in what the district provided as far as what our activities were versus what the Marietta Association activities were. And rather than spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to match up the dates of reports, I've elected to let us just report on what the association has in the form of violations that we wrote. I think it's a cleaner way to talk about it. You can see that we wrote a total of 29 violations in the month of October, which seems low, but I'd like to think that the enforcement is resulting in lesser violations. Again, if we were to stop every golf cart with an underage driver, that would probably be a big number for a while, but then it was shortly after that disappear. And then there's the incidents of notes for September, incidents of notes for October. I'm not going to talk about all of them, but if somebody has one, I'm hoping that people who are online are going to our webpage so they have this to look at ahead of time. But if there's any individual items that somebody would like me to talk about, I'll do the best I can, or I will follow up with them individually after I work with Rick Tompkins, Sergeant Tompkins, on getting an answer. And then there's my comment again about the joint security meeting, and I'm really looking forward to getting that more formalized and maybe start doing something like that quarterly. So that's the security report. It's the format that I intend to use going forward. And are there any hands up or are there any chats, Amelia? Amelia, you're muted. There you are.
There are no hands up. There are no chats. Yes. Oh, there's a chat. There's a chat from Crystal Matter. So how many shifts are being filled by PTF? How much overtime are we paying our employees due to the fact that there are unfilled vacancies for security? What information was shared by employees during the staff meetings? When was the report for tonight's meeting published? Can you see those on your chat screen, Tom?
Let me pull it up. All right. I will try to answer these questions. Shifts being filled by PDF. Right now, there are 5 shifts a week being filled by PDF. It's the gentleman who works the graveyard shift, I believe, at the North Gate. What we intend to add is probably 10 more shifts of patrol PDF officers until we fill them with full-time officers. And so that may be a few weeks, it may be a few months. Hopefully it's a few weeks. How much overtime are we paying to our employees due to the fact that there are unfilled vacancies for security? I don't have that answer right in front of me, but I will get it for you, Crystal, and I will contact you individually, or I will report it back at the board. In my board, I'll report it back in the GM report next month. And then we will also provide a current month overtime report as well in the security report. So that's two items we can add to the security report for the public to see. And then what information was shared by the employees during the staff meetings? You know, I haven't summarized my notes. I had the meeting Monday morning and the one today from 3 to 4:25. I'll tell you that one of the more telling requests was, you know, things have changed since Jeff has gone, and it's left a gap in security, and it's what is a lot to do with the morale, because the morale is not as high as it was before Jeff left. So bringing Jeff back and getting his personality and his work ethic back to the district is really important for us. So we're hoping he returns soon. The other things, they had some good ideas about, I'm gonna be shuffling and mumbling as I try to find my notes right now, but good ideas about some safety related issues. The patrol officers are saying that they are really tired, and some of the gate officers are really tired. Some of them are working 12-hour shifts, two or three 12-hour shifts a week. You know, they're happy that the gate arm is fixed. Being replaced, that was ordered probably 2-3 weeks ago. Interestingly enough, one of the ideas was to post our job posting on the Raley's marquee, on the Bel Air marquee, which happened in between Monday and today. And there's a handful of other very productive things that we're going to work on implementing. Another one is the next time we buy vehicles, to get vehicles more adaptable to people that are wearing safety belts with handguns and other items on their waist while they're getting in and out of those little Jeeps. It's just bad. It's just not a healthy way to have to work. So those are some of the items. I'm not sure how I'm gonna report out the whole thing, because some of them are somewhat personnel related. So, and we can't talk about personnel issues out, you know, in public. And this report you're seeing today was published last Friday. Is that all? Does Les Clark?
Yes, Les Clark has a question. Does adoption of the RMA citation list leave out other CSD security actions that were previously reported?
I will look into that, Les, and I will verify that it does not. And if it does, we will go back to the previously reported data, and we will add that to the revised security report. Is there anybody else?
No hands up.
Thank you, Tom. A couple of things real quick. One, on paying the overtime, that'll come out as we do our reporting. And this is for the other board members. I do not want staff to have to do a separate report to determine what the overtime was for this period on security, because it's not a huge budgetary issue for us. So unless board has other direction, I would caution that we start trying to provide detailed information on individual requests. I think having an overall understanding of what the costs are is fine, but I just don't want staff time to get bogged in to that. The other is, I think Les Clark asked a good question, and the board's kind of given direction to the general manager that the reporting system that has been used and what it was used for and the inaccuracies, we haven't spent a lot of time, and we've requested the GM not to spend a lot of time in that area until we can figure out exactly what are we going to do with the information. And if we have bad data coming in, it's not going to help us. And we saw that with the annual security report we had earlier this year, where the numbers and in the report was just horrific. So as we move along, obviously the game plan is to get security to where it has the staffing, has the personnel. We're understanding some of the reporting system from ABDI and those types of things. So until then, it's almost a status quo, just because of the amount of resources it's taking, until we can start filling some of those positions. So unless board members have something different, that's what I have on security.
I have another chat, if I may, from Les Clark. From Les Clark, the additional information may provide the community with a better understanding of the full services that CSD Security is providing.
Okay, I understand what Les is saying. Again, we're back to a resource-driven, antiquated system of trying to produce some reports, and the priority just quite frankly isn't there. Unless other board members want to give direction to the GM to put some resources in an area that we know is weak, it's not going to change any of our priorities or make any decisions we have coming up off of the reporting system. I agree, the more data we have, the better. We just haven't had good data in the past, and we have very little data right now, but historically nothing's changed on what we do or how we do things, other than the resources that are providing that service have been reduced, and we're trying to augment them either through a contract provider and or fill the vacancies. So unless the board has something else.
Have one more chat.
Sure.
I missed it earlier. I apologize.
No, that's fine, Amelia. Don't worry about it.
From Crystal Matter, what happened at Stonehouse on November 10th?
Unless you can give me some specific, I assume the sun came up, sun came down, but I have no idea.
And Crystal, are you available to speak?
What happened at the Stonehouse that she may be talking about on November 10th is not anything we're going to talk about in a public forum right now.
It was raised at the RMA meeting last night.
I'm sorry, whoever's speaking, repeat, please.
This is Crystal. It was raised at the RMA board meeting last night.
Then I would assume RMA can speak about it. I would go with whatever the GM just commented on.
So CSD is not willing to comment on the issue to provide any clarification or any information as a follow-up to what RMA stated last night?
Go ahead, Tom.
I am not at all aware of what was happening at the RMA board meeting last night. I don't attend those, and I don't get a report on those. So we report, we observe and report, and if it has to do with the citation that was issued on November 10th for something that happened at Stonehouse Park, that goes to the RMA, it becomes their property. So whatever they said is what they're willing to share. Okay.
Amelia, do you have any other hands?
I have no more hands and no more chats.
Okay.
Hey, Tim, just one more comment, if I might. It's John.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Just in looking at the RMA report, I certainly have no objections if there's going to be a few items added into that reporting, but this is the first sensible-looking report I've seen. I mean, I think this format is where we want to go. It tells us what we want to know. If there are a few numbers to be added, that's fine, but I'm wholeheartedly in favor of going down this route.
Thank you. And again, I think Les brings up a very valid point. Again, probably pick a number, 80% of what we do is RMA, but we service the rest of the district and we have to capture that. And that's what we're looking to do in our own internal database. And quite frankly, we just haven't had the leadership for what appears to be an extremely long time, i.e. the former general manager and security chief, on really being able to produce reports that are coherent and consistent using the database that the district has purchased. So moving forward, I think we're all on the same page. It's just how we're going to get there. And really, it's a resource issue of what we're trying to get to. So Amelia, do you have any other hands?
I have no more hands raised and no chats.
All right. Then we're moving on to 6D, which is utility reports.
Good evening, board members and the public. This is Paul Stevenson. I'll give a brief update of what I already have published here in the packet. That past month, our demand was about 1.8 million gallons per day. And that equates to about 748 gallons per connection per production value from our facilities. As it relates to residential gallons per capita per day for our 2020 compliance calculation, we're down about 7.8% versus 2013. So in 2013, there was about a 337 gallon per day usage, and that dropped to 291. Of course, a lot of that is weather dependent. And scrolling down to our source of supply, you can see from the graph there that our storage reservoirs are being drawn down. If you could scroll down a little, Amelia. So on the right side of the graph, that our reservoir levels are drawn down. We're getting into the diversion season now that we're past November 1st. Once river flows are above 70 CFS and water qualities to the point where we want to start diverting, we will be pumping to the reservoirs. And thank goodness the rains have finally showed up. So that's a good sign. Hopefully it'll stay that way. And evaporation last month was about 6 inches as well. Scrolling down to wastewater collection, treatment, and reclamation, we had about an average inflow of about 390,000 gallons per day, which was about 37 acre feet for an inflow. And if you could scroll down on the graph, Amelia, a little further, that shows that our secondary wastewater reservoirs have been drawn down to be able to accommodate winter inflows. So now that the reclamation facility is off for the winter period, all that wastewater that is flowing into the facility goes into the storage reservoirs, and the graph starts going back up as the reservoirs fill until we kick the facility back on for next reclamation season around May or June, depending on demands of the country club. For sewer collection, we didn't really have any issues. Right now, as an update to this report, we're doing a lot of cleaning in the sewer collection system, getting ready for the Thanksgiving holiday. We want to make sure all the pipelines are clean and clear. As a reminder to everyone listening, please do not dump your food waste down your garbage disposals. Please dispose of them in the trash. That includes any turkey grease you have.
Paul, if I can stop you there, I've only been on the board a couple of Thanksgivings now. Nothing really sets the holiday mood like your November utilities update. Right. Continue on.
Yeah, I apologize for that. Just my historical perspective on it is a little different from most people, having been called out multiple Thanksgivings for many years. And we try to avoid
understand
any call-outs for Scott. So we're doing a lot of cleaning. And so you'll see staff zooming around with equipment into our easement areas, getting access to manholes and cleaning the sewer collection lines, as well as we'll be utilizing a contractor that has larger equipment to get into certain areas that we can't with our existing equipment. The drainage system's doing very well. We're all prepared for the upcoming rainy season that we're getting into. We hauled away a lot of limbs and trees from various channels. We're leaving the rest of the drainage in its natural state to catch and filter and slow down any stormwater runoff. Culverts are looking good, and all the outfalls were cleaned and cleared to make sure that they are free-flowing for winter storms. On utility staff work, again, keep moving forward with meter replacements. Once we get into winter months, when we have a little more time for projects, we're gonna start doing some proactive meter replacements, as we had discussed at the last board meeting, and purchasing some of the newer type meters that have no moving parts in them, so they're better flowing and they have some data storage capability on them, which will provide us better metrics for looking at our system. And then we had 4 service line leaks the past month, and utility staff's doing a great job repairing those leaks and cleaning up afterwards and making sure everything's buttoned up. We haven't had a single complaint in several months now, so that's great as far as the work they're doing. And then moving on to maintenance projects with the water plant solids drying bed work. You can see from the photographs shown here, if you could scroll down a little further, Amelia, that's the work that was being done, excavating the drying bed, and that's some of the new piping that was being put in. So we put in 3 different lateral arms on each side of the drying bed to facilitate the draining of the drying bed, so we could load it with quite a bit of backwash water from the water treatment process. That's all buttoned up and done now. Staff did an excellent job doing the work and procuring the materials and putting it all together. So kudos to them, and particularly Ron Greenfield, the utility supervisor that facilitated that project. And scrolling down a little further, Amelia, if you could, you'll see there's a drawing that I marked up which shows what work we had done. So that's indicated by the blue lines. Those are the new drainage lines that we put within that drying bed. So scrolling down a little further, Amelia, on the wastewater reclamation plant East Staff project, that's still moving forward slowly. As I mentioned, we were focused with water leaks, getting the drainage system buttoned up for the winter, and doing sewer collection system cleaning. So we haven't been able to focus a lot of time on that project, but we hope to get this wrapped up by January is our intent, and get refocused on that as time and weather permits. Moving forward on development projects, there's not a lot of updates to those projects going on there. Within the Murrieta Gardens projects that are occurring or have occurred, the Highway 16 offsite improvements have been signed off as complete. The Murrieta Gardens Lot 4 and 5 project has been signed off. And scrolling down a little bit, no news at the Murrieta Marketplace. On the Legacy Villas and Suites, that project is moving forward. The plans have been signed, reviewed and signed by Coastland. So the project may be moving forward soon. Haven't gotten a schedule as it relates to when they plan to start construction on that. And on Lot 10, Tom and I met with the owner of the project just to have a little bit of discussion there. Looks like they are potentially possibly moving forward next season, once the weather permitting. And that project's being looked at. And Lot 11, plan comment letter from Coastland was submitted back to the project. And so that project's plans are wrapping up as well. And on Murrieta Gardens 1 and 2 infrastructure, an update to this update, went through a final punch list, which is going through the project to make sure all final items are being completed as it relates to that project, so it can be closed out. Coastlands inspector went through that with the project manager over there, and most of the items there are complete. There's still some items that are still being utilized as part of the overall Murrieta Gardens project, so they can't be signed off until everything there at the project is complete. So, but in bulk, that project's just about complete. Murrieta Business Park, as it relates to district facilities over there, there's no update. However, the project itself continues to finish their buildings over there. And the residents of Murrieta Hills, no update as well. Haven't heard anything back from Mr. Kyle in a while. And on the Riverview project, it's gone through a second review of their phase 1A plans. So Coastlands, since this update, has provided their review information back to the project. And now Sacramento County is in the process of reviewing the drainage plan as well. And if you've been over in that area, you can see that they set up a construction trailer just east of the Riverview Park. And there's no timeline given as to what their next steps are at this point. And as an update to what I have here in the board packet, I've updated our development projects listing with more detail, and that is on our website under development projects. So any questions?
Amelia, do you have any hands or questions?
I don't have any questions, but I don't have any hands.
Board members, any questions of Paul? Not hearing any, Paul. I'm sorry, what?
I apologize. I see in the comments, Les Clark has a comment. It is, who has the maintenance responsibility for the Highway 16 frontage improvements? I assume CSD, but who? County may not approve a grading permit at this time. So at the Highway 16, the front of that, that's part of the gardens projects. I believe their HOA is maintaining the irrigation systems that will be for the plantings at the front parts of that. There is a portion of that, of those improvements that were done for Caltrans. And so there's a Caltrans easement for that, as well as the easement below that for the Cosumnes Irrigation Association, of which the district is responsible for operation and maintenance. So hopefully that answers your question.
Very good. Not hearing or seeing anything. Paul, thank you. I appreciate it. All right, that closed staff reports. Moving to item number 7, which is review district meeting dates for December 2020. Any questions or concerns from board members? Not hearing or seeing any, and I know Amelia, you really like this item number 7. We're gonna move on to item number 8, please.
Eight is the communication from Mr. Gears that we didn't include in last month's board meeting. So we just brought it forward in this month's board meeting. And Mr. Gears has an opinion about various aspects of the Prop 218, the security and the district's involvement. And I don't have a response. I just, we're providing this. And at this point in time, we're doing a lot of work on the security options. And so I think some of that stuff should weed itself out. Some of his questions should weed itself out over the next month or two.
Perfect. All right. Thank you. Moving on to item number 9, comments from the public. These comments will be held within a 3-minute time period and can include specific items on the agenda or off the agenda. Amelia, do you have any public comments?
I currently don't have any hands raised or any chats, but I did receive a public comment from a resident via email today. It was received from Ted Hart. He said, I'm not able to make the video meeting tonight and asked that this be read at public comments. Concerning the security survey and procedure, I don't believe all the information has been provided to the community. It would appear that there are a number of questions that need to be answered before any money is spent. Is it the intent of the CSD board to move security over to RMA? Then what happens to security outside the gates? We need to hear from RMA as to whether they may be in agreement, and more importantly, do they have the ability to handle it? A simple questionnaire mailer would provide you with answers, the same as a poll. The idea that an outside poll is necessary to protect the board doesn't fly. In addition, what are the legal ramifications concerning this? It would seem there are a lot of unanswered questions. And that's the end of his email.
Excellent, thank you. I think Mr. Hart is spot on, as he normally is. And there are a ton of questions. As a board member, I don't know all the questions and definitely don't know the answers. So I think what Mr. Hart is asking, and I can't really answer specifically, but what he's asking in general is really what the board's asking, and we need to move forward with it. So unless another board member, something jumps out at them, the course of action that's been outlined by the general manager to try and get some of these questions answered by, specifically asked by Mr. Hart, really is where we're trying to go. We're just using a more formalized methodology than what we've done in the past as CSD. But again, as somebody on the security committee, I don't have a specific response to Mr. Hart other than we have a dozen more questions on top of that. So I'll throw it out to the board. Otherwise, Amelia, do you have anything else? If not, we'll move on.
Yes, sir, I do. Crystal Matters. Why is the board considering a potential tax increase or reduction in services related to security during a global pandemic, COVID, during a time when CSD has specifically determined to not even fine people for late payments?
I understand the question, and I'll leave it at that. I'm not prepared to answer the question that was asked. Tom, I don't need you to ask it. I don't think the global pandemic has anything to do with what we're trying to do with security. They're two separate issues. I know that we're required to do certain things by directive of the governor, which is completely separate from any of the other items that we've done in the past, working with people for water shutoff, lockoffs, payment schedules, all those other things. So I don't think the pandemic really has anything to do with whether we're going to raise taxes or reduce services related to security. The pandemic has nothing. Unless another board member has a comment to that, Amelia, unless you have something further.
Crystal did add, great, please put it on the next agenda.
I don't know if it'll be on the next agenda, but I take the comment. If you don't have anything else, we're going to move on to item number 10. Item number 10 is adoption of policy P 2020-01. This item has been pulled from the agenda. We have more work to do at staff. I'll take responsibility for this one. I was trying to push staff on a artificial timeline that we just don't have the resources. So this one completely rests with me. So item 10 is pulled off. Moving on to item number 11. This is going to be the adoption of policy P 2020-2, disconnection of residential water service for non-payment. Tom, I believe this is you.
This is me. SB 998 was approved and became effective earlier in 2020. And we are, along with everything else, we're a little bit late to get this completed, but it's completed. And it's for approval today. basically SB 998 has some key issues. We have to, this is for people who can't pay their water bills. And so anytime they can't pay their water bills, we have to go through these five things. We have to have a plan for deferred or reduced payments, alternate payment schedules, a mechanism for them to appeal a bill, contest or appeal a bill, a telephone number for them to contact us, and that we have the availability to produce these rules for shutting off waters in five different languages. It'll all be available on our website. We've worked with Dick Shanahan to produce this policy, and moving forward, we will abide by the rules according to SB 998. Anybody's welcome to read it, but it's pretty much outlined in the policy how we're supposed to address, and those are the highlights.
Thank you, Tom. And just for the folks out there, a couple of things. One, this just really codifies basically what the district's been doing. With the leadership of the current general manager, we're proactive. We're reaching out to folks when we see a problem. So this really is a policy that is almost reflecting what we've done in the past, at least the since we've had some leadership change. So to that extent, it really doesn't change what we're doing. It just formalizes what we're doing. Amelia, refresh me. I need to make a motion that we adopt this policy. Do I have a second?
I'll second it, Tim.
Okay, thank you. That was Director Merchant. Can we have a roll call, Amelia, please?
President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Danko.
Aye.
Director Butler. Director Butler?
Yes. Yes.
Thank aye. You. Director Merchant.
Yes.
And Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you.
Amelia, thank you for that. Moving on to item number 12, the approval payment to basically Snyder Construction or Snyder Ranch for the CIA ditch, Lone Pine Drive culvert repair, which was done earlier this year. I think it was summertime, if I'm not mistaken. And this is back to you, Tom.
Yes, thank you. The repair actually took place early on in the pandemic. They took advantage of the fact that there was nobody able to come to the equestrian center and very little traffic within the district. But let me go to the beginning. During the budget process for the current fiscal year, it was requested by the CIA Association to, it's time to repair the culvert pipe under Lone Pine Drive, and they estimated the budget to be $38,000. I'm guessing that they went ahead and did the work in early 2021, and they came back and requested that we reimburse L.H. Snyder Construction almost $28,000. The work is completed, and because $27,907 is above my authority, it needed to come to the board for approval. As a side note, as part of the process, because we did not get this in the October agenda, the CIA organization asked me to forward from the CIA account $13,500 from their checking account at Eldorado Savings. And so this action will allow me to do two things. It will allow me to approve a check in the amount of $14,407.80 to Schneider Construction to come to the total of $27,907, and also to write a check back to the CIA checking account in the amount of the $13,500 to make this project whole. And is this something that, yeah, this needs to be approved, right, Amelia? Yes.
Have it as a roll call vote.
Are there any questions, first of all?
I'm not hearing any, Amelia. I make a motion, if I could have a second, for approval payment to L.H. Snyder Construction for the CIA ditch.
Yeah, I'll second it, Tim. It's John.
Thank you, sir. Roll call vote, please.
President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler?
Aye.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Director Pohl?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, moving on to item number 13. This is a discussion for the LAFCO nomination to special districts. It's the advisory committee. A couple of things on this, if I could, before we move to have further discussion. Historically, it's come to us in the first part of the year, usually February, and the deadline is February. So when the board secretary saw this, she asked if we wanted on the agenda. So Amelia, thank you for doing that for us. I think with the development coming on the eastern part of Sacramento County, the LAFCO, again, it's a very critical component of what goes on. And for those folks out there, it's the local agency formation commission. It really does great work. So to that extent, I open it up to discussion. As we do that, I am going to throw a board member under the bus, which would be Director Butler. She represents our communications committee. So with that, there's one person thrown under the bus, but vacant for quite a while. I think it's something that the district should participate in. And so with that, I open it up to discussion to the other board members.
I think it's a great idea.
Now, are you saying it's a great idea, Director Merchant, because you weren't thrown under the bus?
Yes, I have a two-pronged answer to that, but yes, that's part of it.
Okay. Any other board members?
This is Director Butler. I actually volunteered. Thank you, Tim.
You got it. So with that said, I'm going to make a motion that Director Butler represents Rancho Murrieta CSD to be on the LAFCO commission. Do I have a second?
Okay.
Thank you, Marty.
Marty got it. Yeah.
Yeah. More power to Linda. Go for it.
Thank you, Marty.
President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you.
Information, Director Butler, it sounded better if I threw you under the bus, but thank you for honestly. You're not necessarily going to get that from me. But item 14, discuss request for proposal to evaluate Laguna Joaquin water quality problems, well worded, I think, and options. Tom, I believe this is you.
Tom, I can't hear you.
Technically, hear me because the walls are thin here, but my mic was muted. Didn't hear me. Thank you, Amelia. This is a complicated one, and you know, you don't usually see 2- and 3-page staff reports from me, but I really want to get this out there because there are a lot of people in the middle of the midge fly pandemic, which happens every summer here in Rancho Murrieta. For those who live near Laguna Joaquin and those who use Laguna Joaquin as a walking and enjoyment space. So basically, if we had only received one application to Laguna Joaquin Consulting Services, this item would have come forward as a recommendation to approve the agreement. However, we received a second RFP response before 4 p.m. yesterday. So this becomes kind of a memorandum to discuss. And again, I don't want to read this, but I do want to know, I do want to be very clear. It is my opinion that the district will have applied that treatment flies in this year for the last time. The district never, in my opinion, should have gotten involved in treating the muck and the goo at the bottom of Laguna Joaquin. That responsibility is very clearly the Rancho Marietta Association's responsibility, which makes them more accountable for the Mitch flies than the district. However, because the district's responsible for the water quality and because the water quality is in very disarray during the later parts of the summer, I do think we need to have a conversation about this and let it work through. So more or less, I wanna say, here's the deal. We're the district, and I'm asking the board to make some level of financial commitment to paying for these consultants to come in and not just say, I think we ought to do this. I think we ought to do this. These consultants will come in and they will look at the whole issue, and they will look at how water gets into Laguna Joaquin. Is it coming from the golf course? Is it coming from the landscaping? Is it coming from wherever? And how to mitigate the water to where it's not as polluted by the time it gets to Laguna Joaquin with whatever that comes down through fertilizers and stuff. And after all is said and done, I want to be able to tell the people who signed the petition next year, the district did our part. We stepped up to the plate. We offered to fund having these folks come in, and then we offered to address the things the district can do that are being recommended by the environmental scientists, the engineers who know they can fix our problem. Maybe the RMA decides, you know, we have these other options. We've heard them for years. Let's just make it happen. Let's get rid of the fish. Let's put blue dye in the water, so on and so forth. So to me, we need to put this to rest. The hysteric activities that went on in the middle of the summer trying to deal with these flies, getting emails and Facebook pages and pictures from residents that are being inundated with these little bugs, I think it needs to come to an end. I know this route will give us a solution. I don't know if this route will give us all the money for the solution, but I do know that we'll have the solution. And I guarantee you the district will do what it can within its powers to participate in the solution. But the problem is not ours. The problem belongs to the landowner, the RMA, and at whatever level, the Townhome Association. That's my speech.
Got it. Thank you, Tom. I've got a couple thoughts on it. Obviously, they're random, but I'll open it up to the other board members first. Any other board members?
Tom, question. Did you say that you got another proposal? So now you have two proposals?
Yes, we have two proposals. We intend to sit down. The plan was to sit down with the RMA representative and a representative from the townhomes and review them and decide which one we think is best. And how this works is you go through the questions and what they're supposed to answer as their proposal, and you score them. And in this type of environment, you may actually do some reference checks to see if they actually can do a good job, because both proposers provided excellent references to be checking. And then you come up with a score, and somebody gets, you know, 10% more than the other, and then you open up the envelope and look at their bids. And then the money then becomes part of the equation. It's my estimate that the consulting services will cost between $50,000 and $100,000, and with that, part of that is putting together an RFP to you see it at number five, develop an RFP for dredging Laguna Joaquin, which what everybody says is the ideal thing to do. But I think that's going to be over $1 million. But I don't have that answer out loud. So what I'm hoping to do is get the board to make a commitment to contribute district funds towards solving this problem. The district has the ability over make discretionary decisions over how we spend property taxes or general fund, general purpose funds for the district, much the same way that the board elected to allocate property taxes to solve the budgetary problems for this year for the security budget and the drainage budget. And you know, the drainage budget is a way to go. We could also dip into the drainage reserves to help pay for this, because it's clearly a drainage responsibility for the district. Is that a good answer, Marty, or too long-winded?
No, it was Randy, but yes, it was. Thank you.
So when you go, this is Martin, when you go to the RMA and MTI, what are you going to tell them as we would want to pony up toward this process?
I had initially said, I think the district should contribute one third. And then I've been told, and trust me, I learn new things about Rancho Marietta every day. My understanding that the Marietta Townhomes Incorporated doesn't actually have a lot of money sitting around, that they live on a very limited budget. However, the people who live in those townhomes are impacted the greatest, the ones who live right around the detention basin. So this has to be a discussion between myself and Kevin with the RMA for now. But I was hoping to get the district to make some sort of formal commitment so we can go, all right, the district has agreed to pony up. Now it's time for other people to pony up, or don't send the petition to us next year, because we did what we were ready to go to bat for making this happen.
Tom, it's John. I'm not getting how and I have no problem in contributing a fair share as a result of us being responsible for drainage. But as you have that conversation, I kind of think understanding who's going to accept what responsibility financially in this process kind of goes hand in hand with evaluating the contracts and to what extent we're gonna perform some of this action. I mean, legitimately, we can do a lot more if we have more contributors as opposed to accepting responsibility on our own to do what we determine is our responsibility to do, if that makes any sense. So is that kind of going to be like the lead discussion here as to who's going to on the front end of this, without, you know, delving into the proposals, who's going to accept what responsibility?
And that has to be worked out. It's interesting. I see a comment on there is, why don't we just take a look at the old studies that were done activate those ideas? And my answer to that is, I wasn't here when those old studies were done. We've made available, or we've made reference to the old studies for the folks who did the bidding, and who, if we award a contract, they'll definitely come in here and sit down and go over everything we've ever done. I mean, you can go back 20 years when a longtime Rancho Marietta employee wrote out sort of like a whole list of things to do to solve the Laguna Joaquin problem. My opinion is, this is a problem that's been trying to be solved for years and years and years, and it isn't solved. So all the other efforts to date haven't solved the problem. So this is my idea on how I would solve this problem. And I came up with this plan not without doing a lot of research. I made a lot of phone calls and I read a lot of material. So I think it's an environmental engineering issue, or the CSD could say, we're going to help if we go this route. Otherwise, you guys could do your thing. I think at a minimum, the CSD needs to take a hard look at the drainage track as water and runoff gets into Laguna Joaquin. And at a minimum, I think we should do a good look at that as we go into the spring. And is there ways that we can improve drainage to eliminate the sludge and the silt that's going into the basin every year? And that recommendation came from the folks at Vector Control at the very beginning of our discussion.
A couple things, Tom. Thank you. And other board members, thank you for your comment. The comment from the public Has CSD reviewed the RMA ad hoc committee for the retention basin? Currently, three of the CSD board members were on the RMA committee at the exact time the ad hoc committee was put in place. So three of the committee members are extremely aware. Really, what's changed and takes everything done prior, makes it irrelevant, is we now know the CIA ditch, what's being used, how they're using it, and it's not what we understood it to be. So I think a couple of things from this standpoint, Tom. I think the improvements committee needs to be in on this, as well as the finance committee. But off top of my head, my thought process is we've been committed for the last several years putting monies into the treatment to try and kill the midfly. My recommendation, I don't know the numbers off top of my head, but at least we triple that, commit to that level. And again, whatever commitment level we have obviously has come back to us, you know, with all the parameters, especially what Director Merchant was talking about. But I think that gets worked through the improvements committee. And then once we know the dollar amount, can go back through the finance committee. But, you know, I would think from the CSD side of the house, you know, we could go at least three times the commitment level. If we didn't do anything and we kept the same course, we're spending that money. Again, we're looking for an answer. And thank you for doing the research, Tom. And I just think that if we can throw out maybe three times the amount that we'd be spending for a permanent fix to at least get things going. And the other thing I want to throw out to the board members, even if MTI doesn't have the total funding now, as the water district, we can work with them on the long-term funding and all those other things. I think Tom said it best. He has to work with the RMA GM and he's got to make some commitments as well. But my proposal, at least to give some information to the GM, would be just the three times what our normal amounts of the processes that we've been spending each year, and hopefully within one, if not two fiscal years, we put this matter behind us. But that's my thought.
This is Linda.
Go ahead, Linda.
Go ahead.
In respect to
that's okay.
You know, I think our budget this year, I'm just off the top of my head, probably know Paul has it memorized. I think it was $9,000 for treatments. We spent a lot more, but if you go off what we anticipated to spend, that number would be in the range of $27,000 to $30,000.
Yeah, and so I think that puts us in the ballpark for what Director Merchant was talking about. And then at least if we can start then from the commitment level of RMA, MTI, then we can start working back through the committees on exactly who's responsible for what. Because I agree, at the end of the day, one agency has to be responsible and moves forward, but the funding's got to come from a couple, three different areas.
This is Linda. The last time we did the ad hoc study on Laguna Joaquin, a great deal of what was suggested is what we've done. And that is, you know, the treatments, et cetera, et cetera. I think that we also have to look at a couple of things that are different from my knowledge. I'm not sure that I'm correct in this, but they've also started watering the grass around Laguna Joaquin and the landscaping around Laguna Joaquin with water from, it's not recycled water, but it's, and it's not raw water, but it's just water that they're putting on the grass, and that's also creating a problem. Somebody help me and tell me Paul, where is that water coming from?
Well, part of
it's water around Laguna Joaquin comes from the Laguna Joaquin Basin itself. There's a pump station that the RMA pulls water from for using for irrigation.
Right. And so it's already water that is not environmentally friendly, to say the least. And that is creating a different form of gnats, et cetera, that are flying around there too. So going back is probably not the answer. And I think that it's not just, it's CFD's problem and it's RMA's problem, and it's would be helpful if the MTI group could contribute. It's a community problem because that's the entrance to Rancho Murrieta and north, and it's not a pretty sight most of the time. But I think we've tiptoed around this and tried to figure out what to do about it, and got scared by the money that it's going to cost. But something has to be done about it. And Tom, I appreciate what you've done so far, and I think it's a viable approach.
Well, I'm hoping that we can bring our recommendation to the next improvements meeting, having gone through the process of working with the RMA and whomever else.
Tom,
it's John. I'm really looking, you know, I don't have any problem in moving forward with this at all. And I agree with the aesthetic importance that Laguna Joaquin represents. I think as a barometer, you know, what we should be considering is while we recognize that it has aesthetic value to the community, it also initially is and was supported as a drainage ditch, which is certainly our responsibility. And I think where this discussion could start is, you know, the difference in those costs, you know, in treating it as a drainage ditch. And Paul has from time to time reiterated to us, you know, what the basic requirements of a drainage ditch is or are. And we're not doing that at all with Laguna Joaquin. So the starting point maybe there is the difference, what it takes to control the midge flies, and what it takes to bring the water quality and the odor under control, and start building that basis of responsibility around the difference between what it would be if it was simply drainage and what it would be if we want to treat it like the 16th hole at Augusta. You know, so I would start there. The other part of it that I think needs to be considered is part of this was brought on by the fact that we're talking about ways now to flush Laguna Joaquin and to bring raw water down into it on a periodic basis to help improve the quality. Well, we're going into a series of negotiations as to who is ultimately going to be responsible for what as it relates to the ditch. And I'd really like to understand going forward what it means if, for example, we decided at some point to dictate that the ditch itself would be controlled by the end users, and we would be controlling up front with part of the dam or whatever. When we get there, there's going to be a raw water charge to run water down that ditch. And how many times we do that is going to generate a raw water charge. And part of this discussion centers around that and how much that's going to cost, whether it be at the old raw water rate or the new raw water rate. There's going to be costs. And I'd like to understand who pays those going forward as well. The same thing about getting the irrigation out of that lake under control, understanding first how much they're entitled to, how much they're pumping now, how far up the Murrieta Parkway it goes. I'd really like to understand all those things as part of this conversation.
They're definitely connected.
Yes, and so to that end, I agree. I think, and that's why I think the negotiations with the CIA ditch fallen through or following in with improvements in those things. So for tonight's discussion, I think really what all we really need is a couple of things. One, a consensus that we're able as a district to commit to the GM that he can go into negotiations with the other parties yet to be determined. And then the other is we do have to have a roll call vote and an actual action item that we move forward on what we're about to partake as far as the proposals and the evaluation process from that standpoint. So to me, it's really two things. I think a commitment level from the board to give an upper range for the GM to work through. And then the other is to formally approve that he go through the RFP process with the consultants, obviously with the factor of we're meeting with RMA and able to get those negotiations done.
And I do have a comment from the public, if I may break in with that.
Yes, please.
From John Sullivan, Laguna Joaquin is part of the lake management report that is on the CSD website. A number of those maintenance issues are addressed there in that report.
Yes, and so I think as we move forward, it's just not a one item issue, the midge flies. It's actually going to affect a lot of different things. And Mr. Sullivan brings up a good point. It's drainage, it's our lakes. A lot of that, it's the watering system. Is RMA using purple pipe? You know, just some of those things. But for tonight's discussion, I think we give some direction on a commitment level for a dollar amount. And then, like I said, we have a roll call vote that we actually move through the process formally for the request for proposals. So again, I kind of threw out there the three times because we're looking at a multi-fiscal year process to do this. So, you know, Tom, at the end of the day, I don't know if that gives you enough just by throwing that number out, or if you need a number of 30,000 that the board's going to commit to. And again, our commitment level tonight doesn't bind us to anything, but it gives you something to move forward with as you talk to RMA and MTI. So breaking it into two options, any thoughts on committing to 30,000 from the other board members, please?
Tim, this is Randy. Do we need a motion or can we just give direction to the general manager to pursue this? And I'm okay with just a general direction based on what the proposal that we get, the amount of it is, and talking about a third of that. But I guess my biggest question is, can't we just give direction to the general manager to pursue this based on this discussion?
That is a great question. And I was just looking at the agenda, and I have it as a discussion / action item with a roll call vote. But at the end of the day, we're not formally looking at the RFP process or signing a contract for it. So, and I don't know if this goes to Mr. Shanahan, but I would have a tendency to agree with you that the general manager understands where the board wants to go, has put an upper limit, and that should suffice because we're not doing something formal i.e. accepting a proposal. So I mm-hmm. guess that's to you, Mr. Shanahan. Just giving direction to the GM would be appropriate at this point for item 14?
I don't think so. I think the general manager is looking for the authority to spend money beyond his spending authority. And if that is the general manager's intention, then that direction would need a board motion and authorization.
Mr. Shanahan is correct. I'm looking to be able to go over to the RMA with a check in hand to commit the district to moving forward with solving this problem and putting it on the table that we did our part. And if we can't get consensus to move forward with something to this effect, to be clear that the district did everything we could to solve the Mitch Fly problem when I start getting the complaints next June or July.
Copy, understand. So with that being said, the question I have to you specifically, Tom, is we have in here a dollar amount between, I think, low end 50. You've heard me talk 30. Is 30 acceptable to you, even though that's not in your financial impact? Or do you want us to go the minimal impact dollar amount?
I think 30 is a good number. I think we show up to the room with, show up to the meeting with a $30,000 commitment. I think we've really made a strong commitment by the district, and I would appreciate that.
Okay, so I'm gonna make a motion that we accept the proposal to evaluate the RFPs for the front retention basin with a maximum dollar amount of $30,000. So that's my motion. I'm looking for a second, and then we can have discussion.
Yeah, I'll second it, Tim. It's John, and I do have a comment or a question.
Perfect. So Amelia, we do have a second. So now I'm going to open it up for discussion, Director Merchant.
I think, and I agree, with what Randy said previously. But going forward, maybe Tom, you could come back to us either at finance or at the next board meeting. I mean, if we're taking a check over there, we could probably stress how helpful it would be if we came back with two checks that were of equal amounts. I think the $60,000 commitment, it's understood. I don't see how we're going to get out of this for any less than that. So if RMA or the MTI are going to pony up, this would be a good way to get that in motion. So we could process, we could start the process with equal contributions. And if we're going to go further than that, being the $60,000, then we could come back and have another conversation.
Yes, I agree, John, to that, because I think this gets us committed. Now the negotiation part of really what is the commitment level for everybody else, and then that'll work us back through the improvements finance committees as we determine it needs to be. Any other board members, please?
What are we exactly committing to? We're committing to the environmental people coming out and telling us what we can do. And if we have money left over after we pay them, then we'll talk about going forward. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Director Pohl, haven't heard from you. Are you still on?
Yep, I'm here. I'm in favor of that. I think. I'm in favor of it. That this has been bandied back and forth for many, many years and without any success. So it depends how important this is to the other parties.
And that's a great point, Martin. Okay, not hearing any other discussion. Amelia, would you do a roll call vote, please?
President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you.
Amelia, thank you. Item number 15. I asked for this to be put on here. It's a consideration for committee assignments. We don't have to do it tonight, but I just want to have the process continue. There's no reason why we can't formalize the committees moving forward prior to when we normally do it around January. So I'm just throwing it out there. This is for the committees and also the board assignments. So if it's the pleasure of the board to say what committees they commit to, that's fine. If we want to ask each director, just email to the GM on what assignments we want, then that's fine. If the board's ready to commit to committees, we can just work our way through the committees. I'm open. I just didn't want it to have to wait and address it when we can be proactive on it and staff will know who they're working with through the calendar year as we end up through the second half of the fiscal year.
Yeah, Tim, it's John. I'm easy. I want to stay where I am. I don't have any changes.
And this is what, refresh me. I know you're on finance. What other committee?
Communications.
Communications and I've been doing that secondary work on the ditch.
Okay. So Amelia, I guess I'm going to need from you just for you to keep track of the committees. And so what I'll do is I'll just go through each director. And so maybe the thought process I have is, I don't know if we want to keep the board positions, i.e. Vice President, President, the same from that standpoint. If there needs to be a change and we remove the idiot that is the board president, I have no problem with that. But to that end, I know that we're short somebody on security. My gut feeling is somebody like Marty, who is very tight with the checkbook, would probably do better on finance, but that's just kind of where I'm at. So if it's up to the other directors, I can just go through them, and if they want to keep their assignment or if they want to move, we can have that discussion. So I'm kind of open. If we want to just go director to director, or if we want to address the board positions first, I'm open.
I'll speak up. I'd be interested in the Improvements Committee and the Finance Committee, and I'm certainly pleased with you remaining as president.
Oh, I bet you are. I bet you are. I see this train coming down the track right now. Okay. So, Director Butler.
Yeah, you and Randy should remain in your positions as president and vice president. And I would like to stay on the communications committee, and we are bringing up, excuse me, we are going to be moving into starting meetings again with the parks committee, with RMA, and there is also the ad hoc committee that's on a hiatus for the moment, but about the reservoirs. So that's where I want to be, if that's possible.
Director Janko.
I'm happy where I'm at, and I make the motion that you stay in the president's position ad infinitum. No, that's probably too long. But what was the term we had in Little League baseball, that you're the pitcher that's you're there forever? Is that Is there a term for that?
Yeah. It's called, I saw the train coming. I just could not move off the tracks. So with that, thank you. So really where it leaves a couple of things, I will pull off of finance. And again, as the board president, when other directors can't be at committee meetings, that's part of the responsibility, and that's fine. I think it's good to have the village idiot under the spotlight. You can keep control of them a little bit better. We still have an opening on the security, not that it has to be filled. And the only reason I say that is because we really are going to be looking at it from a 360. So it's not like there's going to be committee changes because of what we're doing. So if we don't fill it, I think that's fine, just because it's one of our priorities moving forward, and it's not going to be swept under the rug or any of those other things. So Amelia, I guess I'm back to you if you kept score on where everybody's at.
I am. Does anyone want to volunteer for the security committee to be with you, Tim?
Well, see, that's a loaded, and I appreciate you asking it. If you would have left my name off, I think we would have had takers.
And security committee is where all the action is. So I'm surprised, you know, that you guys aren't jumping on it.
Yeah, like I said, if you would have left my name off, I think we would have had some takers. So with that said, I'll work with the GM and we'll formalize where we're at, and if it has to be confirmed at the next committee, I mean at the next board meeting, so be it. But that was the discussion I wanted to have, really, to let staff know who they work.
The list that I've written down of where everybody wants to be.
Yes, please.
President Tim, Vice President Randy, Communications and Technology John and Linda, Finance John and Marty, Improvements Marty and Randy, Joint Security is Tim, Personnel John and Randy, Parks Linda with Randy as the alternate, Security Committee Tim, and then Regional Water Authority representatives, I have Tom and no alternate.
Copy.
Tim, I have one comment if I could. Randy and I are going to work with Tom and John Sullivan as we move forward on the ditch. It may be easier mechanically for us to turn that into an ad hoc committee. That's something maybe you could talk to Mr. Shanahan about. If so, we could maybe vote on that at the next meeting. I just think it gets dicey when we start meeting in twos in you know when it's not in some kind of an ad hoc format. Other than that, it's fine, but I think it might be easier to do it that way.
Yeah, so I just made some notes. So I'll follow up with the general manager and we'll work back through Mr. Shanahan and we'll get it for the agendized item for December. Because I agree with you that that's a bigger item than just having a couple of conversations. Obviously, we spent a little bit of time on the front retention basin. So there it is. Again, I wouldn't mind moving over to personnel. I see a lot of things coming forward on that, but I'll leave that as it is. So if I don't hear anything else, we'll move on and we'll formalize item 15. I'll work with the general manager and the district secretary to confirm all that and get it out to everybody. So thank you. That takes us to item number 16, director comments. So I open it up to the other board members, please.
I have one comment, and it's back to the security department. We're getting some questions that don't really resonate with me, because speaking personally, All I know is we have a problem with our security budget, where that's going to take us and what security is going to look like and whether there's tax increases isn't even on the horizon yet. It's months away. If we make changes, it's not, if this comes up every board meeting between now and when we actually have to make a decision, the answer is still going to be the same. It's going to be, we don't know. We're researching it. We're trying to figure it out. And there certainly is not going to be any tax increases without a vote. So ultimately, it's not going to be us that are going to be increasing taxes to support security. It's going to be the ratepayers' choice as to what they want to do in the end. So I got that off my chest. I feel better now. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Janko. Any other directors?
This is Linda. Yeah, thank you, Randy. That was a lot of what I was thinking, and I appreciate you putting it into words like that. And that is our focus, is and how, whether every single person in this community, all 2,500 of us, or how, no, it's 5,200, something along those lines, will be represented, whatever we end up talking about and working out with this survey. It's not that you're not going to be represented if you're worried about that. You will be represented, because somebody else will probably think of a similar or same question as you do, as you have. So I wanted to reassure anybody in the meeting or who hears about this, that this is going to be done well, and it's going to be done efficiently, and it's going to be done right.
Very good. Thank you, Director Butler. Director Pohl?
With regard to security, I think this consultant we're going to add or get on board is going to help us find choices, and then the choices are going to be boiled down to something that we may or may not put on the ballot. So I think it's key to have this company come in and help us find choices and put costs to them. And we're going to put costs to them, but we're not quite there yet to figure out what the choices are.
No, that's a very good point. Thank you. Director Merchant.
Pretty much along the same lines. I mean, I think we've done a pretty good job of identifying the problem, and the problem began and continues to be a financial problem. And in dealing with that financial problem, we will have to understand from a budgetary standpoint what the security department needs to look like, because until we identify that, we really can't put a number to it, a dollar amount to it. So I concur with everybody else. I think it sounds like we're all on the same page here. And I kind of wish this thing would stop running wild. We haven't offered to defund anything or to change administrations from CSD to RMA. We have done none of that. And it just seems like the more we keep yelling that, the more the rumors continue to run wild. So we just keep going down the course we set. I think we're all in lockstep on it, and then we'll just get it done.
No, very good. And I totally appropriate. I get for some folks, it's emotional. You can ask my wife, I'm a non-emotional person. So really, if anything, we're truly looking for funding for this department. So thank you for those comments. I have a couple of quick ones. Paul, I forgot to mention last board meeting, the device you put on the hydrant there at the CSD building for the urban interface wildland fire that they had in Amador County was very useful. it just completely slipped. So I apologize for that. The other is, I think the general manager told us something that really underscores what every board member just spoke about. And that was, he's now got time to individually meet with the security staff, and it hasn't been done in 6 years. So there's been a lack of leadership on multiple levels for quite a while. And we're starting to now fix that. And as I've told the other board members, and I want the community to understand, the general manager is now able to start talking about team building and what the team at CSD looks like. All the wildfires, the floods, everything that we've been dealing with in this last calendar fiscal year, the general manager has been able to take those tasks and identify them and rectify them. And so now he's starting that process of building a cohesive team. And Tom, it is so much appreciated from the board level to what you're doing and really what all of staff at every level is doing by getting some leadership from that standpoint. So for that, thank you. And then lastly, we're entering the holiday season, and we only know that because Paul's annual
Scott Adams. What's going on, man?
Hey, Scott, you might want to mute yourself, pal. But we're entering the holiday season, and so to all the staff, the best of holidays. To the community, it's going to be a little different. We're going to get through it. But to that end, thank you to the board and thank you to staff. So without anything else, can I have a motion and a second to adjourn, please?
I move that we adjourn.
I'll second it. Amelia, roll call.
Thank you very much, President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
I think he already left.
No, I'm here. I'm here. I can't. As soon as I figure out the difference between the words mute and unmute, we'll be rolling here. Let's go home.
And Director Polk.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Everyone have a great Thanksgiving. Amelia, great job as always. Thank you. Tom, talk to you tomorrow.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.